What a blessing to be here together. I thank you for the service so far. Sister Rosemary, do not never have to apologize to me for talking about the kingdom of God. It's a great blessing and joy I share with you and all others. Thank you for bringing that to us, Sister Rosemary, and also Brother David Jacobs. Seems like sometimes we have to be blinded before we can see. And I've always felt like, since I've known Brother David Jacobs, he sees God a lot clearer than I do. It's amazing how we have to be broken before we can really be strengthened by God. Sometimes we see heaven most clearly through the prism of our tears, don't we? We do. May the Lord bless us. Thank you for the children's service, Brother Todd. Tabitha, it's good to see you back. You and Brother Chase and little Griffith there. I know he's there and glad you're feeling better. I want to talk to you this morning about eternal life. We've been dealing with the big E's, we've called them, envy and enough and encouragement. I would say this is the biggest E of all, eternal life. And I want to talk to you about that from the perspective of not from getting salvation, but from what we do after we have salvation. And I want you to turn with me, if you'd like to, in your Bibles. I invite you to, hope you can and will, to 1 Timothy, where we're going to find some of these scriptures that will help us understand that the greatest gift that we have is eternal life. And I'm sure if we look at our hearts honestly, it's a gift we often neglect. I want to read some verses, not all the ones I cited. In fact, I want to read some of the ones I cited from the text I gave Tamala, but also leave out some and add a few more. But it's all from 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is a chapter where the Apostle Paul is talking to the younger preacher Timothy. But I would say that we all know that you are ministers, all of you, men and women alike. When God saves you by his grace, you remember Jesus says, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. So you have a ministry. And when you think about eternal life, I want you to understand this with me. And only the Holy Spirit can help you. That is this. I don't know how much longer I've got to live, nor you. It might be 20 years, might be 5 years, might be 1 year, might be 1 day, might be 1 hour. But you can be sure of this, and it's called, because of eternal life, that God has something very important for you to do, or you wouldn't be here today. And so I want us to take that in perspective, because that's how serious eternal life is. I want you to understand with me that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, left heaven, took on the form of a human being, come through the womb, through the Holy Spirit's impregnation of the Virgin Mary, and he was born, he lived on this earth sinless, and he went to the cross to die for you. And he took your place there, he paid your sin debt, and he gave you eternal life by doing that. That's the only way you're going to have it. And so what are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond to that? Sometimes I think we're trying to put too much emphasis on religion and not enough on redemption. And I pray that God would help us to do that, because that's what eternal life is about and what it comes from. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to understand with me that God is in charge of all this. And he is a God that is eternal, and he's given us his life. And that's what eternal life is. I'll just go ahead and say that having eternal life is having God in you. It's the same thing. It's the life of Christ in you. That's your eternal life. Well, the preacher Paul, the apostle Paul, is telling Timothy and telling us. He starts him in verse 10 from chapter 6. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, we can get away from the faith. I mean, we can make a mistake. We can get off the path. We can misrepresent our priorities, even though we're saved. It's easy to do. That's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the culture wants you to do. Now, I want you to know this. If you're listening to the news or reading the news and all that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be a depressed person. If you don't have eternal life, I mean, if you don't look at it from the eternal perspective, You won't have any hope. You just won't. I mean, you're talking about a gift. I mean, you remember, don't you, not long ago, somebody put some signs on some of the churches. I mean, they just did some, what do you call it? They marred the signs. They put one on ours, says tax the church. They put one on, I think, First Baptist says, the churches of faith belief signs. And you know what? I want you to know this. When you're sitting here and your loved one's up in a casket laying here, I want you to believe signs. You know what he will do for you? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's what science will do. Science might have its place, but it does not have its place when it comes to God and eternal life. Okay? So here's what he says. He says, don't run after this money stuff. I mean, what are you chasing after? What am I chasing after? Prestige, status, the look. I mean, you know, I want to make it. I want to have things. And I mean, I know we got to make a living. But he's talking about putting emphasis on it. It's the root of all evil. Loving it. Not having it, but loving it. But, you look at verse 11. But thou, you and me, O man or O woman of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That is my emphasis. Lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore, or whereunto, thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now look over that verse 18, same chapter. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So I'm talking about eternal life, and I want to say four things. I want to say, first of all, that eternal life is now. Eternal life is not something you wait for to get till you get to heaven. Okay? Eternal life is now. Have you got it? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe Him and you trust God and you realize that you're an unworthy sinner and that you confess your sins, believing that God forgives you, then you have eternal life. Now, if you don't know God, you don't know Jesus, you do not have eternal life. I don't care how much church you go to. I don't care what religion or what seminary you graduated from. See, eternal life is now. It is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to say that it's present. I want to say that it's personal. I want to say that it's powerful. And I want to say that it's permanent in eternal life. Now, the thing about knowing that it's a gift is important. What Christmas is about is a gift. And that gift came from heaven. His name is Jesus. He's the greatest gift we'll ever have. And James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above, from where there's no shadow of turning, no variableness, nor shadow of turning. God has given us a gift. Now the apostle here is saying, he's not saying to Timothy, are you saved? He says, listen, lay hold on your salvation. Get a grip on it. Now, this business of laying hold on eternal life, it's necessary if you're going to get through this life with joy. Are you enjoying God? Well, then you need to get your grip. You need to put some tread on your spiritual tires in your vehicle and get you something to get you through the mud. That's what getting a hold on eternal life will be. That is how do we do that? We believe. believe that God is who he says he is, that he did what he said he did, and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, that's just pure and simple. Eternal life is not some theological maze you got to walk through. It is simply the basics of trusting God. I was reading the other day where Vince Lombardi, the famed Green Bay Packers football coach, the first team meeting that he had every year, these men were college athletes that were in professional football. Coach Lombardi held a ball up and said to the team, "This is a football." I just was taken by that. That's what I want to say to you. I want to say to you, this is eternal life. This is Jesus Christ. Believe him. Trust him. Because you're going to have some shaky times to go through. Eternal life does not inoculate you from death physically. Eternal life is not a spiritual antibiotic that prevents you from hurting and having problems and getting sick. No, no. Eternal life, though, is the entity that comes from God that will flat give you the responsive from redemption merit to say, like I heard a man say who was told he had pulmonary fibrosis, a lung disease that would suffocate him to death, and the doctor told him, and he said, "Thank you, Lord." And the doctor said, "Wait a minute, you did not hear what I said." He thought he was in denial. He said, "Oh yeah, I know what you said. But I believe in God. I believe in my Savior. And the last breath I take on earth is joy to me, because it will be the breath just before I take the first breath in the presence of God." Have you lost loved ones? I know you have. I've been there sometime. Do you know they're alive right now? Brother David gave us a good promotion of the grief share. I 100% agree with that. But do you know the foundation of the grief share is eternal life? I mean, what good is anything without eternal life? I mean, Rosemary mentioned these little precious kids, and they are gifts from God. As parents and grandparents, we know that, and we thank God for it. But you know, I pray for mine, and I know you do too. You know what I pray for her? I don't pray that they'll get a good education or they'll make lots of money. I pray that they will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because that is eternal life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Here's some basics we can quote, but we don't have to think about. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." See, eternal life, you can't buy it. You can't get a school and go to school and get a degree from it. You can't. It's a gift. And there's only one person to give you that gift. It's God. And it's the one gift that you and I really need. Have you ever had a, I know you do, and you know, around Christmas particularly, you say, "What can I give this person?" You love them and you want to give them something they can use and appreciate. And it's such a relief to know there's something they can really appreciate and use. And God knows what we need. He didn't send some great orator. He didn't send some great educator. He sent a Savior. Because God knows that we need a Savior, because we are sinners and we're broken, and unless God intervenes, we're going to hell. And eternal life keeps us from the wrath of God that we deserve. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 9. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in two good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now these good works, as I understand it, you know what that's about? It's about simply laying hold on eternal life. Gripping it. Believing it. You're going to trust this. You're going to preach this to yourself. Don't wait the preacher. Wait for that. I mean, you give it to yourself. This is eternal life. I hope my daughters don't hear this, but I think I have still a couple shirts that they have given me that I have never worn. I mean, they still got the pins in them. No joke. I hope they don't hear me. May not ever give me anything else. But I believe that there are Christians, men and women, who have been saved from eternal damnation by the blood of Christ that have yet to open the gift and wear their faith. It's almost like they're ashamed of Jesus. And they're denying the very one gift that makes all the difference in eternity. I tell you, it's present. Do you have it? If you don't, nothing else really matters. Not only that is it present, this eternal life. And it's not something, again, that, you know, you have people say, well, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, if you did this wrong, how many rights and wrongs you did, well, you can get into heaven. No, you're in the kingdom now, see. And so what we got in this testing period on earth to show our faithfulness to God. How are we going to hold on to this eternal life? Now, if you're going to lay hold on eternal life, you're going to let some things go. Namely, yourself. You're going to let some things go. You're going to let some doubts and fears. You're going to understand this, that it's all about Jesus. The life in you is Christ. We lay hold of it. See, I can lay hold. I got to grab this book. I mean, I can't look at it. And if I'm going to lay hold of it, I got to appropriate it. That means I got to open it up and read it. Do you know that the Word of God is eternal life? These are words of life. Because Jesus is the Word, according to John 1. And it not only is He from God, He is God. That's what this Word is. He's the Word made flesh. And He's all over this book. And so the more we get into God's Word, the more we grip eternal life. See, you need to hold on tight to God and His eternity. It's hope. And it's personal, secondly, it's personal. We must see Jesus as taking my place, your place, personally, on the cross. Look at John chapter 10. Would you look at that with me? Now, we've said that believing in God, in Jesus Christ, is how we lay a hold on eternal life. You understand that you believe Him because He gives you the ability to believe. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Christ is the Lord or God is born again. That's why I ask you, do you believe it? So then you have eternal life if you do. If you don't, you get on your knees soon and you say, God, help me believe. Cry out like the apostles, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You get a good hold on it. You grip it tight. You're going to need it. It's the only way you're going to get through life with joy. Now, don't you want to finish with joy? I know you do. And I want you to. Say, are we in John 10? And Jesus answered them in verse 25. I told you, and ye believe not. The Father's works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You see, eternal life bears witness of what is done in your heart by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Note, he does not say, you are not my sheep because you don't believe. He says, you believe not because you're not my sheep. Then obviously God has to make us a sheep. That's what happens in eternal life. God transforms us, okay? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life now, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I want you to see the personal aspects of eternal life, but also the power of eternal life. Because, see, what God does to dispense this wonderful miracle of grace is he draws you to Jesus. That's why John 6:44 says, no man can come to me, Jesus says, unless my Father draw him. It's called irresistible grace. Did you notice a while ago there that word called was in there, the apostle used to Timothy? Yeah, this is what you've been called to do. Lay hold on eternal life. Grow your faith. It gives you more confidence in God. It gives us the perspective of fixing our minds on things above. See, the only way we get to heaven is because we got some heaven in us here. And God put it there, okay? See, we'd be a lot more joyful, if we kept our hearts in heaven, thought about heaven a lot more than we do instead of this earth. That's what we ought to do. We're spiritual beings having human experiences. That's why it's called a spiritual warfare. Eternity, eternal life, it is a gift God has given you. Open it every day. Wear it as God's grace. It will give you the traction you need when things get slick and you start to slide in the ditches of life. See? And then I want you to know with me, not only is eternal life right now, again, you don't wait to heaven to get eternal life. Jesus said this to Martha when Lazarus, her brother, was dead. He that believeth, or she in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked her. In other words, there he was in his body. He was dead, but he was alive. And Jesus goes to the tomb and he calls his name out. And you know the story. He comes out. And Jesus tells his disciples to loose him and let him go. But eternal life is permanent. Again, I don't know how long I'm going to live, and you don't either. And it is true that when we die, now eternal life should give us the courage to face death, because it's coming for every one of us. Actually, we ought to look forward to it. Now I know it separates, I know it hurts. I've been there too. I have lost a son and parents just like many of you, and yet I believe that they're in heaven. I believe they're alive, more alive than there's ever been. And it's important that we embrace this, laying hold of eternal life, so that our loved ones will know. You want to comfort your loved ones and give them peace about it all when you die? Then you live as if you embrace and believe in eternal life. Because you can't lose it. Death can't separate it. It was given by God. It is God. It's the life of God in you. I don't mean by that it makes us gods by no means, but what it makes is it's life, it's eternal life, not only from God, but of God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith and of our life. I said we don't know the length of our days on earth, but that doesn't really matter. So when I die, here's where I see it. I've ended my day's work, and so have you. But you have just begun your life's work. You understand that? Your life's work in eternity. Now, all what that entails, I do not know. But I know it is most glorious, unsearchable riches of glorifying God. It will not be boring. It will be not sitting in church all day listening to some sort of preacher. It is not going to be that. It is going to be about ruling with God and in His presence in this new earth that He renews. And it's going to be a blessing beyond compare. And there are a lot of people that have broken in this life, that have been suffering from the consequences of their own sins and the sins of others and the sins of Adam, that will have in heaven an eternal life, unmerited favor and blessings of God, be able to express their life more fully, where there's no pain and no death and no sorrows and no tears. That is the permanence of eternal life. Now, do you want to lay hold on something permanent, or you want to go after something that's going to be fleeting? You don't know what it's going to do. But eternal life is that strength that gives us the permanence of life, that we can say with the pains we face, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to suffer for your sake here on earth. It's like the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4, these light afflictions are but for a moment, he said. He says, while we look, not at what we see, these temporal things, but what we don't see, eternal things. Are you looking there? That should be our focus. Not on what we see, but what we can't see. That's what faith is about. That's how you grab hold of eternal life. And that's what strengthens believers. Jesus Christ said in John 17, when he was praying to the Father, thank you, Father, that you have given me power over all flesh, and I have given eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And then he tells us what eternal life is, that they may know thee. You, God, that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God, not knowing about God. I'm talking about knowing him as your shepherd, as your savior, as your sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, I could go on the resurrections, but I'll be back here tonight, God's willing. I might be somewhere else in heaven. I don't know, but in case he does leave me here, that's what I hope to do. Always remember you got something to do, or you wouldn't be here. Something very important God has called you to do. Are you laying hold of eternal life? I would advise you to do this. Some ways God gives us impressions that are just personally for us. And I'm not really that proud of it, but it did help me in some perspective. One year during Easter, I went to the Upper Black Creek Cemetery where my son is buried and where my mother and father and sister's buried. And there's a place there already marked out for me and Penny. I mean, it's already laid out. And I got there kind of late in the afternoon. And I don't know why I did this, but I know where I'm going to be laid. So I went over there and I laid down right in that spot. Now, I'm glad nobody came by the road. It's a little country cemetery. But I laid there for maybe 10 minutes. I looked at the clouds. They were floating by. And I thought about what it'd be like. Yeah, we're going to die, these bodies. But according to God, and Todd talked about God's promises, and he always made them, he said, he's coming back. And when he does, that the spirit that has already gone to be with God of his elect is going to be reunited in that body. They're going to be raised up. And those that are in life, there's going to be something living that are going to be caught up and transformed. So I laid there thinking. Didn't seem like death was going to be all that bad. I remember getting home. Penny said, where have you been? I said, it's a cemetery. And I said, you don't believe this, what I did. She said, you didn't do that, did you? I said, I did. And I said, I want you to know this. And I told her, and I don't know some of the girls, that when I die, I want you to know that, you know what, that guy's laid there before. And he got up. And he's going to get up again. And so are you, and so are your loved ones. Because that is the power of eternal life. That's how much God loves us. He's not going to let us die eternal. He's not. May the Lord bless us to lay hold on eternal life. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the short time you've given us to be on earth. We enjoy every minute of it by your goodness and grace. But Lord, we know that when our time to die comes, we're going to be embracing a life that is far better. We can't describe it. You haven't given us the ability, probably even to hold all of it that it entails to us. But we believe it. And we believe that our loved ones, Lord, are more alive than they've ever been before. Far be it from us, Lord, to doubt that just because we sob over the graveside. Lord, help us to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to realize the tomb is empty and the Lord is risen. And because you live, we can face tomorrow. We can face our problems. We can face the pain. We can face the disappointment. Actually, Lord, you're just preparing us to appreciate eternity more by the problems you send to us. Send more, God. Help us rejoice in your eternal life. And show us, O Lord, without hesitation that this world and its comforts are fleeting and fake and passing on. You are the only treasure. Lord, help us open this great gift you've given us. Help us to drop everything else and lay hold on it. And as best we can, help us, Lord, hand it to those that we love, that we can share it so that they will get a tighter grip on theirs too. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.